David Lee Roth,
92.3 Free FM.
Добро пожаловать к David Lee Roth. Будьте готовы быть испачканным грязью, быть пристыженным и устыдиться того, что вы еще живы. Welcome to David Lee Roth. Prepare to feel filthy, ashamed, and completely alive.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth. I have a very special guest here, and his name is Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios. Lloyd, join us. How are you today?
Nice to see you, David. Greetings from Tromaville.
Did you wake up or stay up for this?
I've been listening to your music all night.
Okay, so. This is After Hours Radio. Think of it as the very first talk show of the day, late night talk show of the day, if you would. Lloyd, how long has Troma Studios been in existence with us here?
It's been around 33 years. In the history of cinema, there has never been an independent movie studio that has existed for 34 years.
That's astonishing. What is the secret to this endurance in a industry where that's like shockingly inconsistent? Go ahead.
Well, as the bard said, Shakespeare, that's to thine own self be true. Do what you believe in, and you make movies like Surf Nazis Must Die, Toxic Avenger, Bloodsucking Freaks, Cannibal the Musical, Terra Firma.
Sounds like a great weekend to me.
All the classics.
But you're saying to your own self be true is the actual secret to your success in maintaining an endurance in an industry where, what, they disappear every other summer. Agreed?
Well, you know, a lot of people think I want to bash Hollywood. I don't know. I think it's great that Paris Hilton can make more in one night than Jonas Salk made in his entire life.
I didn't know.
That's so wonderful, don't you think, with the Oscars coming up? It's so beautiful.
That's why we're going to win this war, Lloyd. 30 years in a great series of films and people that you've worked with. What can you tell us about how you fit with the independent nation today? Everybody kind of knows what an independent film is. Lloyd, can you describe what is an independent film?
Well, I think that art is a product of your soul. Art is a product of what you believe in and a product of you, David, right? Something that you don't compromise. And that's what art is. The Troma movie is trying to get out certain themes. And today, independent art is under assault. It really, you've got these giant devil-worshipping international conglomerates which control everything. And Troma is not just, in fact, Troma's fighting against all that.
How are you fighting against this, Lloyd?
Trying to stay out of the mainstream as much as possible and do what we believe in. And we put on the Troma Dance Film Festival. It just came out. Troma Dance Film Festival, eighth beautiful year of the Troma Dance, in the heart of the Park City Sundance Festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what do we expect from the Troma Dance, it's called?
Yeah, Troma Dance Film Festival. I went out to Sundance about 10 years ago, which is supposed to be the independent ground zero, if you don't mind that expression, of independent cinema. And instead, we found it was really rude and they hate independent films.
So really? Explain to me what you experienced at the Sundance Film Festival. This is a fascinating interest to us. Go ahead.
Well, it seemed that the word independent has been stolen. The word independent now means vassal of major conglomerate.
And the major conglomerates being who? I'm sorry for pedestrian
AOL
questions.
Hell, Slime Warner, or Sony, or... you know, it's the when we started Troma, there was actually competition in the entertainment world. Now, I hate to be serious here, but...
No, this is good stuff.
The art world really does need a breath of fresh air. The rules that used to protect us from monopoly have been done away with, and the rules that used to encourage independence, such as Troma Entertainment, have also been done away with. So as a result, you are spoon-fed these $100 million baby food movies. And the New York Times, of course, has these marvelous articles about, ooh, an independent film is alive and well in Park City, Utah, at the Sundance Film Festival, and it's the little film that could, the $15 million movie by John Turteltaub. You know, it's what a miracle. Thank God for the sun. Well, that's horrible. And so Troma Dance was set up. It's our eighth year now. There's no submission fee. You can enter your film for free. You can go to the movies for free.
Stop one second.
Maybe art should be free.
I kind of agree with you. How much does it cost for a film to make a showing at Sundance? This is news.
Well, I don't know. But I think the New York Times will have an article about Sundance, but it'll be an interview with the public relations man who has, I've got seven movies here at Sundance.
Yeah, and a public relations guy is going to cost $6,000 a month, and so are all the secretaries and everybody involved in this. How many different kinds of outfits like yourself actually exist today? Are you unique?
I think Troma is one of the last dodo bird on the beach that hasn't been clubbed to death. And you know, what's a pity is that you know, a lot of famous people have come out of the Roger Corman tradition, the trauma tradition. Years ago, there were lots of traumas. And unfortunately, the world has changed, and the conspiracy of elites has made it so that very, very few independent studios can make movies over a long period of time. It's very, very, it's almost impossible.
Really? How long, how much does it cost to create an independent film today? Between 1 and a 10, a number 5, 10 being best. What's the average budget for
something? We just finished Poltergeist. Poltergeist.
Explain this plot line to me, please.
Poltergeist is the, it's a shot-by-shot exact remake of the great Black Men in a Boat epic by Steven Spielberg, Amistad. Except that instead of the black men, we've got a lot of chicken Indian zombies. And instead of the boat, we got a fast food restaurant. And instead of Anthony Hopkins, we've put in Ron Jeremy. Other than that, it's
note for note.
Yes. And the budget of Poltergeist is, it's 35 millimeter. It's got a, you know, panoply of special effects. It's got anything you'd want in a movie. And instead of $100 million, it's under $500,000, and it's 35 millimeter. The same stuff with sprocket holes that's running through all these, you know, millions of In Your Shoes or You Got Mail or all the $100 million baby food movies.
You don't get any better than that. And how long does it take you to shoot Poltergeist? And tell me where you shot it. This sounds like the most fascinating plot line that we've been adorned with here since our entire broadcast career, which is roughly 5 weeks long. But go ahead.
Well, it's longer than Poltergeist will play at your local theater. That's for sure.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
Poltergeist took about 30 days to shoot.
I'm laughing. Go ahead.
I'm letting you know that Poltergeist is excellent. That's all I can tell you. It's the foulest movie Troma has made.
And do you hope for PETA, you know, the ethical protection of animal people, to assault you? Do you hope for this kind of thing?
Because PETA, as you know, was a sponsor of the 2004 Troma Dance Film Festival.
I did not know.
I don't eat meat either, other than human flesh.
A vegetarian makes these kinds of films?
We eat some fish because they like vegetables.
This is amazing, and I didn't know that PETA was involved, but that makes all the sense. You're fighting for the basics here.
All the underdogs.
Now, tell us, who is in the film? Is it anybody that we know, or are you more fond of taking unknown talent and bringing it?
When I was at college, I hung around the Andy Warhol factory, and he always had his superstars. We sort of have an ensemble of, you know, we obviously can't use Tom Cruise in a movie at this point. He doesn't fit in with the vision. But we do have Joe Fleischaker, who weighs about 500 pounds. He's been in about eight. He's a big action hero. He's been in about eight of our films. And we've got sort of an ensemble. And then we always find new young talent. And if you look at the Troma Library, you will see the first films of Kevin Costner and Samuel L. Jackson. It was in Death by Temptation.
Was this his first movie?
Right. Troma put up the money for that in 1987, 88, 89.
And what role did Samuel Jackson play in his very first film for you?
A religious man of the cloth, a very religious preacher.
Did you come across a stellar acting talent like Sam Jackson? How do you connect up with something like that?
Well, we did was put the money in that movie. This was James Bond III. We were the only white people involved in that movie. It was before you know, the black films became chic, so to speak.
Okay.
So naturally we lost money.
And what about the fellas from South Park? What is Cannibal the Musical?
Cannibal the Musical, written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and they couldn't, you know, they took it to everybody, and nobody, you know, we were the only ones who, you know, they were the last, Troma was the last stop on the train, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone are very grateful to us to this day, because they got a nice video box, they could take it around Hollywood, and they somehow put together South Park, which Troma managed to stay out of. It's amazing.
They managed
to go into the non-successful.
I think I hear some of the seeds of their humor coming from you here.
Well, they're big. If you read my second book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, Trey Parker wrote the introduction to it, and is the most insulting introduction to an author's book that's ever
been written. Certainly a salute in that respect. What is the plot line of Cannibal the Musical? What could we expect to see here? What's the story?
It's a very, very contemporary tale. Alfred Packer was the only human in American history who's been convicted of cannibalism. Actually convicted. It's a Colorado legend, and this is a sort of Oklahoma meets Bloodsucking Freaks kind of treatment of it. A lot of singing and dancing.
A little predictable, but I'm sure you give it a spin. band. Who does the music?
Trey Parker wrote all the music for South Park for Cannibal the Musical. Trey Parker wrote that. He's very, very, you know, he's terrific. Team America, by the way, if you get the Make Your Own Damn Movie DVD box set, you can see an in-depth interview with Trey and Matt. And they've been very loyal to us. They've been acting in Terra Firma. And, you know, it's not exactly the greatest career move to play a hermaphrodite couple in Terra Firma after they've been on the cover of Newsweek magazine.
I'm going to argue with that. That may be after Brokeback Mountain. That very well may be the next step.
Yeah, that's another beef I got. Why are there all the gay jokes about Brokeback Mountain? I haven't heard one good gay joke about Capote, right? I mean, Brokeback Mountain, they're just playing at being gay. You know, that guy with the speak like this, it's okay. I mean, he was a real homo. I can say homo because I am a homo, so it's okay.
Would you ever do a biopic and recreate somebody's life?
We've done some B.O. picks. And,
for example?
We don't get many showers.
Reacquaint us, please. What biopics have you done?
Well, we're going to be shortly doing the Dolphin Man story, which I think Dolphin Man and Mad Cowboy will... I think it's going to be sort of a gay horror film, so... We will get into kind of the Dolphin Man's biopic. And by the way, speaking of biopics, a fine novel will be coming out in May. Toxic Avenger, the novel. Only 23 years after the movie. How's that for good promotion?
You probably have my publicist. What year did Toxic Avenger actually come out here?
Came out around 1984.
Okay, and I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios. Toxic Avenger came out in 84, and this is probably one of the most well-known pictures coming from your combine.
By the way, in Sundance, Park City, Utah, the mop, the Toxic Avenger's weapon is a mop. He's an environmental superhero. The police confiscated the Toxic Avenger's a mop in the streets of Park City, Utah.
Bastards.
Because they feel it's a weapon of mass destruction.
Nazis. It could be in the right hands.
They also confiscated one of our filmmakers' accordions. He was it was a festival, and he was being festive, and he was playing in an accordion. They confiscated that. This is the world we live in, David. Thank the good Lord for David Lee Roth.
Oh, well we totally support the arts. Are you kidding? And this is some of the most popular material that people are always going to delve into when people are going to look for alternative, when they're going to try to quote-unquote recreate independent film, when they're looking for the edge, they're always going to come back to this material. They're always going to resort to looking at your pictures and the films and stuff that you've made because that's the benchmark.
And I'm looking to those pictures of Jessica Alba in your waiting room there. That's a pretty damn good waiting room.
Get your mind
by the way,
out
you talk to Peter Jackson or Quentin Tarantino or you know these Gaspar Noé in France. You know, these directors, they've all grown up with Troma. They all love Troma.
Oh, I'm not making a
We're
joke.
We're an endangered species. We need help.
I'm
we
not kidding.
Help.
You know, when you'll talk to all the action folks who do direct action pictures, they always go back to Kurosawa. They always watch Seven Samurai for fight scenes and chase scenes.
This is the only time that Kurosawa and Troma have been mentioned in the same... That's sort of like actor's equity.
It's a balanced diet.
Thank you. You're a good guy.
And they're always going to come back to you for what is sharp. What is the real edge? Because you're the only one who's functioning without a care for what is in other people's eyes. You know, like Proust said, hell is in other people's eyes, man. And you seem to have inured yourself to that. Do you have a secret as to how you pass through the critics and the cop who takes the mop and, you know, fighting the studios? Because that's part of showbiz, always has been. Do you have a secret for that? That's something that you say to yourself or something that you read again and again?
Well, New York is a great place to work. You know, you actually meet people who don't talk about themselves. That's pretty cool. And also, we have a very young group at Troma who they love movies. They actually love movies. And they are enthusiastic about what they're doing. They believe in what they're doing. And nothing can stop them. So when you're making... We were up in Buffalo, New York, making Poultrygeist this summer. And people are living... We lived in an abandoned church. 60, 80 people from all over the world. Most of them not getting paid. Sleeping on the floor. Eating cheese sandwiches three times a day, learning how to defecate in a paper bag, all to bring some art that they believe in. And that energy comes across. And Poultrygeist, by the way, like all Troma movies, has got a rather important theme, namely the fast food industry. It's a big FU to the fast food industry. And if you read Fast Food Nation, Poultrygeist kind of mimics that a bit, except that it's got the singing and dancing.
Sometimes a little sugar coating makes the hard stuff to swallow go down better, huh?
Indeed.
And
indeed.
Are most of these young people that you're working with here, are they actual film students? Are they involved in any kind of academia and, you know, going to film school or et cetera? Or are they coming from the margins?
Mainly they are from the extreme margins, but we get NYU students. We got on Poultry Guys, we had people come from all over the world. We put a notice out on our website. Troma's making a movie. You know, we can't pay you. Come in. We got people from Sweden, Australia, Germany, France, California, all over the, literally from all parts of the world who came to Buffalo, New York, which is not exactly like Venice or Paris. And they,
well,
they,
it's
they
the suffered. It's the Paris of New York,
yeah, of upstate New York, yes. And Buffalo is a great place to make a movie, by the way.
Why it so? Why so?
Because the people of Buffalo, we've got crowd scenes. The people of Buffalo love cinema. They seem to love Troma. And they would come out every day in August. We had big crowd scenes and demonstrators against the fast food establishment. In a nutshell, Poultrygeist is about a fast food establishment built upon an ancient Indian, can you say Indian?
Sure.
Ancient casino owner graveyard.
Which Indian line?
And the spirits of the ancient, the Indians were exterminated, and so are these chickens in the fast food industry by the billions. So the two spirits of the exterminated chickens, the exterminated Indians, casino owners, whatever you call them, are mixed together and go into the fast food, and hence the chicken Indian zombies create Poultrygeist.
Chicken Indian zombies. I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios, and he's talking about his news. When does Poultrygeist actually come out?
Well, the nice thing is nobody wants our movies, David, so we can take as much time as we want editing because nobody wants them. It's very liberating, and since we are economically blacklisted, so it'll probably be another 6 months of editing, and then we hopefully get it into the theaters toward the end of the month. But if you go to Troma.com, you can hear the Poultrygeist theme song by Calamari Safari. You know that
music? Of course.
When you're coming out of rehab. That's the Calamari Safari. The Poultrygeist theme song. And you can download it for free. Troma's believes in sharing art.
And we will spin that up a little bit later. We're going to give you all the support. And, of course, when the film is finally edited and everything's finished, you got to give us an advance copy and let us give you an extraordinary, stellar review. I'm telling you up front.
I think you should be in it. I think you ought to. We still have a couple of days of post-production. We always save a little money to film. Because I make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to film a couple of days, and so maybe you could.
Well, you know what?
Play a cameo.
I don't know if I can actually act because I've never actually tried that. The closest I ever got was playing myself at the Tony Soprano executive card game. The director called me up and he said, "David Lee, take this as a compliment. We're looking for a celebrity who would actually know somebody like Tony Soprano, allegedly, in his life and actually be comfortable at an executive card game with gangsters, allegedly. Would you be that guy?" And I said, "I will take that as a compliment."
Wow.
But it's not acting. That was just me playing poker with a bunch of mob.
Well, Will, you just got your part. Poultrygeist needs you.
However, I would love to do a narration. I've never acted in a film. I've never done a television show or anything. I'm a pick one thing and do the hell out of it kind of guy. I'm 51 years old, so I took that real old school approach. And part of the fun of doing this is I get to work my voice more and more. Would you like a narrator?
Yeah.
Given time, I would absolutely, and that's something that we can do in and out of the city here, and that would be a blast. Yours would be the only company that I would make this overture to directly here, but I could do the low voice.
Perfect, David. Well, Troma's, we like to discover new narrators, so we're expert at that.
Yeah, I can do that absolutely for you. That would be my pride and my pleasure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here on the David Lee Roth Show. Dave, we have just, this is big news. I think you got to call up the New York Post.
I think the New York Post is already listening, Lloyd Kaufman, head of Troma Studios.
What do you think of these people say, I only get my news from the John Daly Show, from the John Stewart and the John Daly Show, or the Daily Show. Isn't that something? People are proud of the fact they don't read. Is that something?
I mean,
even the New York Post, at least people are reading it.
I will speak to that right after this. Don't go away, Lloyd Kaufman. Get on, baby. Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, and I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios here, the maker of The Toxic Avenger, Tromeo and Juliet, and of course the upcoming Poultrygeist. Troma Studios has been around for a little while, and you put the rest to rest, huh? You've outlasted just about everybody. Welcome, Lloyd. How are you today?
Thanks, David. Thanks for supporting independent art.
Oh, of course, man. Are you kidding? And how many famous people have come out of this background here? You got Brian De Palma. What part did he play in the Troma history?
Well, if you go to the Troma Library, you'll see a movie called The Wedding Party, directed by Mr. De Palma, and Robert De Niro's very, very first, we like to call him Bobby, even though I never met him, but
Bobby.
And you have an office here in Manhattan?
Troma Building. It's a landmark. Once you've seen the Empire State Building, the statue, you go to the Troma Building on 9th Avenue. It is beautiful.
And this is now becoming an international concern, Lloyd. I have something here in German that comes from, what is this, Berlin? The Berlin Film Fest. Tell me what this is.
At this very moment in Berlin, Troma is an art movement. The Troma Dance Film Festival has inspired young people in Berlin to create the Tromanali, which takes place at the same time as the Berlinale, the Berlin Festival. And they, like we, feel that Berlin Festival is wastes too much money on red carpets and limos, and it's all about champagne and jewelry, which is what's happened to Sundance. So they've set up the Tromanale, a 10-day free, all free, free movies. You can submit your movie to Tromanale. Tromanale.de. D-E standing for Deutschland.
And what films are
I just came back. I literally got back yesterday from the Tromanale in Berlin.
How long of an event is this, Lloyd?
It goes during the entire duration, about 10 days, during the Berlin Festival, right down there on Friedrichstrasse is the Tromanale. That's quite amazing.
10 days is an amazing number of films, I'm going to guess. How many films would show in 10 days?
About 200 movies at the Tromanale.
Wow.
And it's all volunteer. It costs nothing. You can go for free. Everything's free.
Really? And these are films that you otherwise would not see on the screen. These are new films
that are independent. Totally made just for love of filmmaking, like the Troma Entertainment legacy.
And in Berlin, are they watching primarily European indie moves, or are they watching as much material as coming out of the States as well?
Well, like Troma Dance, the Tromanale Festival is very, very international. They had movies from all over the world, and I guess more of them were European, and most of the people who attended, most of the filmmakers who actually came there, I think the furthest one away was someone came from Canada.
What about Tromeo and Juliet? Explain to me what you've done with this.
Well, Tromeo and Juliet, which, by the way, the fellow with whom I wrote that, who actually wrote it, is James Gunn. James Gunn, this is Tromeo and Juliet, a movie that promotes incest. His next career move was to write the delightful, delightful children's classic Scooby-Doo. James Gunn, and then he wrote Scooby-Doo 2, and he's just directed his most wonderful film called Slither, a $50 million Universal Pictures movie coming out, I think, any minute, really like the end of this month or next month. Slither, and I'm in it. He gave me a part, and he paid me. How cool is that?
What part did you play in Tromeo? In Slither, you play a part.
Yeah.
What do you play?
Drunken bum.
Is this autobiographic, or are you really acting?
I played a drunken bum in the original Rocky too, so it's sort of a
really what scene? Now we have to go back and look for you.
Rocky picks up a drunken bum laying in the gutter toward the beginning of the movie, then carries him into a bar. Hutch remembers and then sits the drunken bum next to another drunken bum, and I repeat that part in Rocky V.
I have to go back now to watch all of this.
Yeah, you got
to
see Rocky I. But Tromeo and Juliet. Anyway, James Gunn's got this Slither coming out, big, and his wife Jenna Fischer, who other than that, you know, she's a very talented writer director. She's directed a movie called Lolly Love. And Lolly Love, by the way, Jenna Fischer plays.
All right, I have Lolly Love in front of me, and it says, saving the world one sucker at a time. Explain, please.
Well, first of all, Jenna Fischer, you can know her from The Office, the American Office. She's the receptionist. And
okay.
So she's a big star, and she's made this movie, and Troma's distributing it. It's wonderful. And James Gunn stars in it. I play a priest in that one. And I learned that on the Neverland Ranch. Lolly Love is about some yuppie couple who like to go out, and they figure if they can give Lolly Love's lollipops with some art wrapped around it, the little wrappers with James Gunn's paintings, the homeless people will be cured. And it's
making sense to me, Lloyd, but
if you watch Lolly Love, it's almost like helping the homeless yourself.
Okay, and how much of the proceeds actually go to the homeless?
Well, seeing that I'm living in a refrigerator carton right here in the streets of New York, I think a fair amount of it.
You qualify.
Comes out, it's literally just came out this month, Lolly Love.
Who does the music for something like this?
Lolly Love, you know, that's a good question. I think James Gunn may have. He writes music. I'm not sure exactly who did the music for that. There may be some Troma original music in
there. I get the sense that most of the talents that you work with are multifaceted, that they're not just actors or cinematographers, that they write the music, they do the set design, they're art directors as well. Is this true?
Indeed. The young filmmakers today really are very multitasked, and they really, well, music and, as you know, music and film are probably more closely related than anything else is to film. In other words, people think still photography and film, it's music. I mean, just look at Class of Nuke 'Em High. I mean, it's like a symphony, and the music that goes with it. You know, it's amazing. In fact, the music in class in Newcomb High develops sort of the symphonic side of it is like a nuclear power plant. You see,
and are some of these musicians anybody that we would know yet, or are they following into film as well, or is film just locked into the fellas that Spielberg always uses and that so and so always uses? Because you know, Woody Allen always uses the same kind of guys, etc. Is it a locked up shop just like making traditional film?
Tromas gets, you know, the music industry seems a lot more interested in keeping the street. I mean, Lemmy from Motorhead, he's acted in our movies and given us music like Sacrifice, which is in Romeo and Juliet, and he's never charged us a penny, nothing.
And he himself,
I have to give him a bottle of Maker's Mark. That's about it. It has to be a big bottle.
And if you look at Lemmy with those cinematographic eyes, you see a character face that's literally out of a Charles Dickens novel.
He's amazing, and he's extremely knowledgeable on the history of war. If you want to know anything about...
Well, he's an angry guy, Lloyd.
Who isn't? Who isn't?
Well, let me raise that question. I think that there's a very thin line between rage and really great genius work. Do you agree or disagree?
Just take Oliver Stone, who was in Troma's Battle of Love's Return. I mean, that guy could have been an axe... I grew up with him. He could have been an axe murderer or a Nobel Prize-winning person who could have bombed Cambodia.
Okay.
And he's done both.
And what kind of rage do you feel? Do you feel a lot of rage? Because you seem like a very happy guy to me. What are you raging? Do you agree with me that you got to feel rage to make good work? Or is it a happier experience?
No, I think you have to... it's like the oyster. You know, you get a piece of sand caught in your ass, and it's very painful. But out of that, you spin this magnificent pearl. And that's sort of the trauma. It's Taoism. It's the yin and yang.
I find, you know, people know me for a sense of humor. My sense of humor has teeth to it. But for my sense of humor and my general joie de vivre, joy of life, whatever. But I find that if I'm not angry when I show up for the show, if I'm not PO'd at something at least two times a day, the show next day suffers.
Well, you know, before I got here, I talked to the editors at Troma, the Poultrygeist editors, and I talked about David Lee Roth. They said, you know, that guy, he's trying to figure life out. That's a good thing. You know, I mean, seriously, I hate to get philosophical on you, but that's what they said. You know, these are kids like 22 years old, 23 years old.
Sure enough. Well, what we try to do is kind of access my background. I've never done radio before. It's an adventure into something new. For the last 20 years, some of the very greatest, whether it's Imus or Stern or whatever, they've done 20 years doing radio.
I could tell you've never done radio because you invited me on your show.
Oh, you're one.
Howard Stern never had me on his show. He didn't want to give any help to an independent artist.
Well, I'm coming from a background of artist to artist. To me, this is jamming. I would never, you know, instead of, you know, you have a competition between movie actors and so forth. If somebody says Eric Clapton is outside, immediately you want to jam. When somebody like yourself is in the city, I want to have a drink with you. I want to have an espresso and see what's inside of your ideas because I'm a fellow artist. I don't see it as something very different. I think that makes us a little bit different. What could you tell new young filmmakers, Lloyd Kaufman from Head of Troma Studios? What can you share with new young filmmakers who are just starting the fight?
I think you do what you believe in. You don't have to do what Troma does. You don't have to make Romeo or Juliet. You don't have to make movies that nobody wants to see that have head crushings and dismemberment and hot blooded lesbian action. You don't have to do that. But you should. You know, you shouldn't look at the movie industry as something where you're going to make a lot of money. If you want to do it for to be on the best 100 American Film Institute list, then you got to go out to Hollywood and you got to go negotiate the corridors of power and develop those sweet lips and you know.
We would just hope the producer doesn't stop up short. Now you have a DVD here. It says "Make Your Own Damn Movie."
And you have to say it. Make your own damn movie. Make your own damn movie. You have to say it like that.
Make your own damn movie.
That's it. You are going to be a good narrator.
Tell us what's in the box.
Well, that's a five-disc box based on the best-selling book, Make Your Own Damn Movie. And it's film school in a box, basically. Make your own. And you'll see interviews with everyone from John G. Avildsen, the Oscar-winning director of Rocky, to Eli Roth, who had a number one movie last week called Hostel. You'll see interviews. You'll see how Troma does its casting. How does Troma make those fabulous movies? How do we get the money for those movies? You'll see all that visually. It's quite fascinating.
And how do you do the casting? Do you have casting calls, or do you locate on one specific person and try and reach that person, or do they come to you, Lloyd?
It's more people come to us, you know, because most of our films discover new young talent since our budgets are very low. So we have open calls and find the hot, new, young talent. Because Troma is a good stepping stone to bigger and better things. And so this, we're very much in
demand. And this follows through with your cinematography and the sound editors and the gaffers and so forth. They show up for you.
On the technical crew, we've had for the last five films, we've had the same, pretty much the same crew, because even though they're making a lot of money in the real world, they with Troma, they can take risks. They can do things they're not allowed to do on a real movie, and they can... They can go to extreme. They can try things they haven't tried before.
I think that would probably be the reason that, quote-unquote, legit actors and actresses would come to you, to be able to stretch the boundaries, to push the edges a little bit.
Well, I think there you may be slightly incorrect, but I don't think any legit thing.
Yeah, but
well, our problem is the movies I make have thousands of people in them, the ones I direct. So we couldn't possibly go with the unions, because you have to have, the lunch has to be 6 hours, and you've got to pay people. If they work on Monday and they don't work till Friday and they're standing around picking their nose, you got to pay them for the whole week. We can't afford that.
You had a choice of some famous faces that you could have in your film for one reason or another, what would be some of those names? Who would fit into the Troma films from the pantheon of cultural celebutards that we talk about regularly here?
I honestly don't think in those terms. I have no interest in the big stars. It's about the movie. You know, in fact, it's kind of better when you don't use stars, because when you see Tom Cruise, it's always Tom Cruise.
It's him.
You see Will Keenan and Tromeo and Juliet, that's Tromeo. That is Tromeo. Jane Jensen was Juliet. You know, when you see Kate Graham is the star of Poltergeist. She's hilarious. But it's Wendy. It's Wendy in Poltergeist. It isn't...
You really get lost in the movie then.
Yeah.
How many movies have you made, Lloyd?
Well, Troma, I'd say my partner and I have written, produced, and or directed over 100 movies. But we got about 1,000 movies in the collection.
Really? And you say you also produce or executive produce? Explain what that involvement is. What are you doing there?
We've financed movies. We've got a film out this month called Slaughter Party. I think we gave them a little financial help.
Slaughter Party.
Yeah. It's
reacquaint us.
Sort of about, it's about quail hunting. Anyway, Death by Temptation, Samuel Jackson did. I don't mean to be arrogant, but...
Please be.
But I think he's very ungrateful. I don't think without Troma that maybe there wouldn't have been a Samuel L. Jackson, because that movie wouldn't have been made without the money that Michael Herz, my partner, and I put into that Death by Temptation movie.
All great adventures.
Maybe, you know what I mean?
The first step. Oh, exactly. I know what you mean. There was one night when my classic rock band Van Halen, had it not been that rainy, windy night when the suits all showed up from Warner Brothers, I would probably have a lot more money today. I'm talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios. Do you want to take a phone call or two? Give him one phone call. You want to say it? Go ahead. Pick one off the top there, brother. Go ahead. You're going to be talking to Lloyd. Swing.
It'll be my wife telling me to shut up and let David talk.
Go ahead, friend. You're on. Matt, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Dave. I want to say hi to you and say Animal's still cool, and even Hutch deserves a shout out there.
Okay.
I got to thank Lloyd for bringing Stacey Burke to the film studio. Totally in love with her. You know, I'm a married guy. What can you tell me about her?
What is the name there, Lloyd?
Tracy Burke?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, Tracy, a star Tromet. Tromets are, she's actually a super Tromet. Tromets are gyno-Americans. We don't say woman because it has the word man in it. Girl, you can't say. Gyno-American. Tromet wears very small clothing and has very big brain.
Okay, for a second there, I had a Scientology vibe that I was getting from you, because you've developed your own race of super people.
Troma Universe, absolutely, the Troma Universe.
How about Greg? He's got 3 scripts and he needs advice. Simplify. Go ahead, Greg, you're on. Got a question for Lloyd?
Yes, I do, and a huge fan of yours, David, all my life.
Thank you.
Here's my question. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, a suburb. It's easier to write scripts than to do anything with them. What advice would you give for a guy like me that I think I've got a compelling 3 scripts? I'm not looking to be a multimillionaire, but really looking to get some exposure. What do you do?
Well, exposure, I usually take my pants off in public, which is very effective.
I already did that.
Okay, all right, that's step number one. Step number two, go to Cinema Wasteland. It's in Cleveland. It's a big convention. I'll be there. You can meet the Troma team. And direct your own movie. With digital, you can steal one of those little cameras from Best Buy. You make your own damn movie, and you won't have someone else screw up your script. Go for it.
Lloyd, you're an amazing breath of fresh air.
Ooh, thank you.
Thanks for calling. We're going to take one more. Lane wants to be Lloyd's PA. We'll find out what those initials mean from Lloyd right now. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I've met you, Lloyd, a couple of times at Cinema Wasteland. I'm here in Cleveland. And, you know, I really enjoy all your flicks, and it's fantastic. If you ever need a PA, you know, I'll see you at Cinema Wasteland.
Well, go to the Troma website, troma.com, and you'll see where we're filming and where we need help. That's for sure, Lane. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had a whole Troma-palooza day of Troma music not too long ago.
I sense a resurgence here.
It's really happening.
I sense you never left, but a giant coming of age of some sort here, Lloyd.
Giant coming is right.
Oh, I've been talking to Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios. You know it from The Toxic Avenger and the upcoming epic Poultrygeist. You know him from all the stellar talents that he's launched, and you're going to know him from it'll be my first movie that I ever narrate. Lloyd.
Thank you, David Lee Roth.
You are one of the best guests we've ever had. Will you come back and help us review other people's movies?
You gotta be kidding. I'll be back, you bet.
Okay, then that seat is always yours. It's usually Animal's house, but we're going to save that place for you. Ladies and gentlemen, a big hand for Lloyd Kaufman.
Hey, thank you.
We'll be back right after this. God bless.
David Lee Roth, 92.3 Free FM.
Дэвид Ли Руф. Столько силы. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Это чистая сила. Radio Roth 6M.
Radio, David Lee Roth, large. We just had one of the best guests ever, Lloyd Kaufman. He's the head of Troma Studios. Troma Studios, you know, The Toxic Avenger, Romeo and Juliet, the up-and-coming Poultrygeist. I got to get the advanced screening of this, and we definitely got to get Lloyd to come back next week and help us review all the movies that are going to be up for the Oscars. What do you think? He's got an amazing wit. Hard to believe he's a vegetarian. I don't buy it. No vegetarian could make Troma films. Are you a fan of The Toxic Avenger, Animal?
Oh, of course, man. That was a really good movie, man.
Oh, it's amazing work. Amazing work. And who knows? Watch, I'll do my narrating voice, because I know that Lloyd is probably listening on the way back to the shop here, indeed, to test me out here. Here we go.
This is the city. Mine is but one of many millions, Lloyd.
What do you think?
Hey, that was good. I like that.
Bond, James Bond.
I better start practicing. What do you think? Yeah. I don't want to be an actor, but I definitely want to narrate. I could be like a cartoon character. What character should I be, Animal?
Let me think of one for you, Dave. D-Ro, man.
Should we invent my own character?
Yeah, you just give me D-Ro? You give me the concept, I'll hook you up, dog.
Maybe I could turn black in a want. You think?
Yeah, you know.
No, you know,
I got to give you muscles, though, you know.
Oh, totally. It totally would change. I'd change from a skinny little Jewish kid into Animal. What do you think?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Devin Leon Roth?
You think? Or I can be like a blues playing cartoon, like from Betty Boop. You could be like a blind Melon Roosevelt Johnson. Of course, in my case, it would be more like blind Melon Roosevelt Lee Johnson.
Or we could be the two blind guys, but then we turn into our superheroes. You'd be D-Ro and I'd be Animal.
Well, it's Animal's house and I only work here. Roth Radio, okay. David Lee Roth. That was Lloyd Kaufman coming up from, he just split, actually, from the Troma Studios. But what we do have coming up is another point of interest, and perhaps this might even provide a plot line for Lloyd. Maybe this is the plot line that I might wind up narrating here. This is Sheila Kelly is coming in at 9 o'clock today, and she is the developer of S-Factor. I don't know if that stands for striptease, but I hope so. And this is the extensive workout for women that allows them to empower their sexuality through an exercise routine based on the fundamentals of striptease and pole dance. I didn't know that pole dancing had fundamentals, but I guess it does. You got to get your, like, grip strength. Some of these girls have great grip strength. Don't look at me that way. You got to develop your center of gravity, or I'll help you develop it. But no, what Sheila developed is the regimen of S Factor while preparing the 2000 independent film, which we were just sharing with Lloyd Kaufman from Troma. This is an independent film of called Dancing at the Blue Iguana, which I've personally seen actually every day I write the book. And I know the girls that she probably based these characters on. Animal, you do too.
Of
you
were course.
The
yes, I do.
Well, you were the director of security of for course. How many summers at the famous.
About six.
Okay, 6 years.
Yeah, about 6 years.
Okay, well, this is where she produced and directed or whatever of that movie, The Blue Iguana. And this is a workout that's specifically designed for women, and it allows them to lengthen pelvic muscles, always a good thing, curving the body at the waist, I suggest it, tightening the abdominal muscles, I'm in. S-Factor combines meditation, self-touch, yoga, and Pilates. Ooh, self-touch. We'll have to cut right to the crash there here. And you can find her at www.sfactor.com. That's sfactor.com. She's going to be in 9 o'clock, Sheila Kelly. What do you think, Animal? Would you have your wife go to these lessons? And would you just expect her to enjoy her day at the gym, so to speak? Or would you have her demonstrate for you when she got home?
A demonstration would be great, you know, to get everything fired up and motivated. You know, I would suggest a poll for her, you know. I might even have one. You never know about me, Dave.
You're right. Maybe you're ahead of me as usual. Yeah. Anyways, each 8-week session represents a new level of expertise. Dig this. She does it karate style. Marked by Kelly's campy take on the karate belt, it's different colored G-strings. Okay, so I guess you start off with a white G-string, and you get to be a green string, right? Brown string. Okay, there's 9 bad jokes about that. And then... You know, what does a stripper do with her ass before she goes to work? She takes him to band practice. But Kelly says there are very few black G-strings out there. Okay, so she must be a black G-string, a black string. I'm wondering how many 8-week sessions are required to become a black belt at this. She's, of course, doing the black G-string, but, you know, just like Dolomites, all-girl Kung Fu Army. I could see how this is going to work. Hopefully, we're going to create a nation of strippers. I think we already have a nation of women who are prepared for this kind of a pursuit. They just needed a place to do it. I totally get this. Where else could you go? If you're 10 pounds, 20, 30 pounds overweight like most of us, where are you going to go put on something stretchy and vacuum-packed and go listen to the kind of music you're hearing in the background and be able to throw it around without your old man crowing in the background, right? I can just imagine Sharon Osbourne doing it with Ozzy in the background with one hand in his speedos going, Sharon! Anyways, you're going to be able to speak with Sheila. She's going to be here in a few minutes, actually. And you can email us, davidleeroth.com or thedavidleerothshow.com. And everybody's already emailing on this one. The phones are lighting up, too. Mansfield, Massachusetts, Salem, Mass, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Leandora, Pennsylvania, Warwick, New York, South Salem, New York, Caracas, Venezuela, In Between Revolutions, Norway. We do our station IDs in Norwegian. That's the one that got Hutch all revved up there.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to borrow the Norwegian station ID and take it home.
Can I take that home? Thank you.
You may not.
Spoil sport.
All right, everybody else go away. You stay right where you are, Hutch. We're going to go to a break.